This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Still got the football. You're with Fiona. Danae is back in the studio. Hello. After a 2-week break hiatus.
Back.
And we've got Rachel on the panel as well tonight. So welcome, ladies.
We've gone tall.
Hello.
We've got the tall forwards.
Bit of a ruck.
I'm a bit of a rounder forward these days. I'm pregnant with a little hawky. But we've got a big show. We've got still lots of AFL news going on.
Yep.
That we'll talk about, especially with the women's league.
Mm.
And earlier today, Danae, Beck and I caught up with Brett Murphy. He's the general manager of player relations at the AFLPA.
Yep.
And happens to be Mark Murphy's brother.
And John Murphy's son, I would imagine.
Well, you'd hope so. Mm. So, footy news, what's going on in the football world, Rachel?
Well, gosh, quite a lot considering it's off-season.
We thought we'd have nothing to talk about.
Exactly. Who'd have thunk it?
The AFL must love just owning the whole year.
As does the Herald Sun.
They definitely are merging the end of off-season into the beginning of a new one, aren't they?
Well, there's nothing to talk about in the men's cricket, so...
That's true.
Actually, there isn't anything to talk about, and that's one of the problems. There's a lot of pressure on the cricketers because the game should be going for 5 days, but instead it goes for 2 days, and that leaves commentators and the commentariat 3 extra days to whinge about what's going on. So, yeah.
Need to get rid of 2020 or actually have a test team play test cricket. But anyway, that's another sport, another issue. Back to football. So the first thing I guess we could talk about would be Chris Yaron. Very sad that he has left the Tigers. They've released him from his contract. And he's gone back home to Perth to be with his family and his other supports.
He never actually played one game.
Didn't get to play for the Tigers.
Yeah.
He played quite a few for Carlton.
It was over 100 games that he played for Carlton.
It's quite sad. And obviously there are a lot of mental health issues that are ongoing and have been since the start of the season. I personally think, considering his age, he has gone back to Perth, I'd probably say this is the end of his football career. Obviously, I don't know, but that's
what we'd have to assume, isn't
it?
And it's a bit like Ruffy, really. It's a different kind of illness, but your health comes first, doesn't it?
It does.
Home to family.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Times have changed so much in the last few years that mental health wasn't talked about amongst Aussie rules, footy, clubs,
in fact, at a time it would have just been seen as a weakness, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's only very recently it's been spoken about within the community and acknowledged as an actual illness. And obviously Buddy Franklin as well experienced it. And I think in a way having such high-profile players discuss it and be open about it is actually quite good for people within the community who do have significant mental health issues.
Yeah, and good to see the AFL being open and honest about it at the moment as well. But some news at Fremantle, speaking of WA.
Yes.
Good to have you on board tonight.
with two Hawks. How does this happen?
We love to surround you.
Yeah. Crowded forward line.
We're your bookends.
Yeah.
good news that Nat Fyfe is back on the training field.
I've got to say, I was fairly tragic and watched the video that Nathan Fyfe kind of owns media in Western Australia, as you can well imagine.
I've actually liked the Western Australian newspaper, so.
Yeah, well,
Facebook,
there you go.
So.
Yeah. But there's some great footage. Nat Fyfe and Alex Pearce went to LA and had some fun and did some training toured. You know, I'm sure it's a tax deduction. They visited some sporting organisations, but I watched him do some really strange side-to-side slidey kind of exercises that I talked to a gymnast who's an Olympian recently who said that's a really difficult thing to do.
Wow.
And so his core strength is looking pretty good.
Okay, been doing some Pilates.
Would it also be to build up agility or is it just to get that core strength?
I think it's a strength thing rather than an agility thing, but I'd like to tell you, I have no idea.
Did you see there was a footage of a GWS player? He was on his feet and knees and was able to lift his whole body up and down.
Yeah, right. That strength.
Just by the strength of his hamstrings, basically.
Yeah, I can do that. I just don't want to.
There was also a rumour that Nathan Fyfe had grown in the last few months, like in height.
Oh.
But I don't know that that's true. Anyway, we're just really
He's over the age of 22, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 24, 25.
Oh, okay. Well, he might have.
Yeah.
Well, let's grow up to 22, 23.
So. I just want to see him play.
Okay, yeah. And
I think he will.
Yep. Yeah. We'd all like to see him play. He's such a great player to watch. I mean, he won the Brownlow the year before.
I remember saying very early last year that I really wanted to see Marcus Bontempelli and Nathan Fyfe play one-on-one, and look at the different years they had last year. Amazing. Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
You've recruited a few good players this year as well.
I have focused on the women's team because I'm very bullish about the Frio Dockers women's team.
Great. Yep. You've got your membership, proud, passionate and paid up.
Yep.
Which is a Hawthorn slogan. but it's very exciting what's been going on with the Women's League too. The AFL just released some figures showing that the football participation has gone up significantly since the Women's League has been launched, not just with females, but with men as well.
Yeah, great.
Across the board. There's been something like a 50% increase in female community club teams.
Yeah.
That's great, I think. And also a 21% increase into AFL AusKick, which is fantastic. That means all the little tykes are getting out there.
Yeah, little girls playing. Yeah. And over 50,000.
Well, they're able to see people who look like them play elite sport that they enjoy, and I think it's fantastic.
Mm. They want to be like Mo or Mel or Katie or Daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Hey, when we talked to Charlo Curtis last year, she told us that the growth had been happening year on year on year, but it's exploded now, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely been a spike. I mean, it has grown, but you can see in the last sort of 12, 18 months since there's been talk of a women's league, it's just grown
enormously.
And it
hasn't even started yet. Yeah. So can you imagine once that we actually watch it and that momentum starts and we get excited and passionate like we are about the men's game, I think it's just going to explode. I think it's wonderful.
And we can't overstate the importance of visibility. When I saw Ellen DeGeneres was given a presidential medal of freedom.
Once she got her ID. She forgot her ID, apparently. They wouldn't let her in. But once she got that, or once whatever happened, yes, she did.
Well, she's not allowed in because she's a lesbian now. So that's good.
President Obama talked about how important it was that she came out 20 years ago. I mean, that's 20 years. When KD and Ellen came out, no one was doing that. So, you know, 20 years ago, women were playing football, but no one got to see it. And those little girls and young women didn't
get
to... Her
wife as well, Portia de Rossi. Mm-hmm. She's Australian, isn't she?
Yes. She was born in Geelong.
She barracks for Hawthorn.
For Geelong if you back for Geelong. The number of female community clubs has increased to 983 across the country. Right. So that's up 56%. Last week we interviewed some girls from the Brunswick Renegades. Mm-hmm. And they've grown so much that they've had to put a second women's team on.
Fantastic.
In the last they only launched 2 years ago. So
that's fantastic.
It's really, really exploding. So now women account for 27% of all participation across the sport. So
1 in 3. Well, footballers.
Almost, yeah.
That's great.
That is amazing.
So,
it should be.
Well done to the Women's League. We're very excited.
And you're growing some younger girls, I
BFL,
hope.
Well, I've got some young boy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. My daughter already has a football.
Yeah. And an AFL colouring book. Now, the draft is happening this Friday.
Friday night.
To say, the draft confuses me no end. I'm not a detail-minded person.
Can I just say, in preparation for the show, there is an article that has to explain the draft for dummies, essentially, and I still don't understand it. I have absolutely no concept. But what I've gathered is that everybody, depending on where they fall on the ladder, gets a lot of drafts, picks. I think, as you mentioned, Hawthorn gets 88, number 88.
Yeah. Well, we traded some of our better draft picks in the trade period.
Period, exactly. And I know Essendon gets number one, and I think Brisbane is also having some advantage that other clubs aren't having, rightfully so, and et cetera. And then everybody has a point system. And we can all trade people for points. And then it just all falls down and I have absolutely no understanding of how it can possibly work.
You just watch it on TV. We need Bree and Monty tonight, don't we? They're our stats girls.
I thought I had a handle on it, and then that point system has just bamboozled me completely.
Which is new, yeah. I think it's new. Or last year. Mm-hmm. Basically, everybody's worth a number of points and you can trade up and down and you can effectively trade with other clubs on the day to get different people.
What a time to be alive. And the academies and the father-sons.
Which is exciting. I did see a Dacos in the mix.
That's great.
Yes. Yeah, good to see
Dacos'
that name
son
come up.
Is on the father-son thing.
And yes. Gavin Brown's son, is he playing? And
Jarman?
Ben Jarman.
Yeah,
yes.
I think he's been rejected so far.
Well, he has been by the Hawks.
Oh, the Adelaide will eat him up.
I don't think so. I think I heard they weren't.
Oh, okay.
But not sure.
Incredibly informed here.
Yeah, that's
about
right. Maybe you can demystify the draft for us in one sentence by SMSing 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to unravel the mysteries of the draft.
I'm Katie Brennan from the Western Bulldogs. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona, Beck and Danae. I have on the line right now Brett Murphy. He's the General Manager of Player Relations at the AFL Players Association and has joined the AFLPA in 2012. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Brett.
Hi, good to be here.
So, Brett, we're curious to know more about what the role of the AFLPA is and how you interact between the AFL and the players.
Sure. Well, in short, I suppose we're the representative body for all players in the competition. We've been performing that role for 42 years for the men. And on the announcement of the women's competition earlier in the year, we sought out the women's players and offered to represent them too. So our key role, effectively, is to help the players in any way that we can, whether that be collectively, ensuring their workplace conditions are fair and reasonable, and we've been looking to do that through the women's pay deal, and individually if they need help in any way. So it's an important role and overall, we enjoy.
Brett, you've been involved in the Players Association in a few different ways as legal counsel before this role. Over your time at the Players Association, what do you think's one of the biggest achievements that you've been able to do for the players?
It's a good question. I think in recent times I've been really proud of the work we've done with our newest members, with the women players, and we've been working with the AFL on both the ambassador contract for the marquee players, on the standard playing contract for all players. Our key goal through that process was to ensure our newest members are treated equally to the men, and I think that we've got there through the discussions with the AFL, which has been really good. So I've been really proud of that. We're in the midst of negotiating a new CBA for the VAR players, which is something we do every 5 years or so. Those discussions are going on at the moment. I suppose one of the big areas which we're really proud of is the work we do in player development. Each club has a player development manager and a really important program in respect of looking after the players' interests off the field as well as on. So they've been big areas. And also the work we do in social leadership. We've been supportive of the Ad Hoc campaign for probably 7 or 8 years now. And that's really important to us. Racism stops us, many other programs like that. So there's some of the key achievements. There's some big ones coming up.
I think things would have changed a lot in 42 years. I guess the men were part-time players, not fully professional back then, much like the women are now. You also do a lot for former players, is that right?
We do, and there's always more we can do, but we work really hard to provide assistance.
Obviously, there's a big transition. You know, some of the players have been earning hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is there a transition that you help them with to go into other careers?
We do a lot of things during the player's career to prepare them for life after football. So we do programs with the players and the clubs to maximise their time in the game, prepare for life after football. So hopefully that eases their transition into retirement. Once they do retire, we go through a quite lengthy process with the players to ensure that they are prepared and ready to go. We do have a pretty significant retirement fund that provides the monetary funding to them after they've finished up. And there's, of course, the hardship fund, where if a player, notwithstanding all those things, does fall upon hard times, they can seek to access that. So there's quite a few things they're looking to do for the players after football. Football isn't forever, so it's important they're always prepared to go into the next phase of their life. And if things don't work out, we've got steps in there to help them.
That's really really good to know there's that support for them afterwards. I'm also interested in whether the Players Association has a role in players coming into the game and helping them adjust to life as an AFL player.
Yeah, we don't deal with players until they're drafted. At present, we're looking to build stronger relationships with the pathways so we're at least in front of them. They know who we are before they actually do get drafted. But
so, sorry, at the moment, Brett, are you saying that you don't have a presence at the academies?
We're not involved in the academies. So we represent the current players and the former players. So we don't have a specific role with the future players. But as soon as they do get drafted, we put them through an induction camp to introduce us to us and our services and to the industry, and work with them pretty intensely in that first year with the club to induct them into the competition. So we do a lot of work with them once they come in, but at this stage we don't do any work with the 15, 16, 17-year-olds before they come into the game.
And are the female players getting that same induction?
Yeah, they are. So the female players attended an induction camp with the AFL, I believe, last Friday and Saturday, and we attended that and spoke to the players there. So they've been given a league-wide induction. They'll be given induction at their clubs, and we'll be looking as a Players Association to get out and visit them at their clubs throughout December and January. So we're looking as much as possible to provide the similar services that we provide to our male players to our female members.
Fabulous. We were also concerned at first that we learnt that the women's players don't get private health insurance. Sure. And originally they weren't getting their boots either, so we've noticed that that's changed. But then we learnt that the men don't get private health insurance too. Is that true?
No, that's right. So most professional sports, the competitions and the clubs don't provide the health insurance. But what we've done is, through the discussions with the AFL, sought to ensure that their wage, both for the men and the women, at least is factoring in the fact that they do have to pay for that private health insurance. It's not something the women get, but it's not something the men get either.
Right.
So the Players Association is made up of the players. Is it automatic membership, or do you have to pay your subs, or is it an opt-in, opt-out?
It's an opt-in arrangement. We have 100% male membership, so all our male players are members, and I'm not sure where the number is with the women at the moment. If it's not 100%, it's pretty close to it. We do have subscription fee. We haven't settled on the amount for the women players yet. It'll be significantly smaller than for the men players, because while we feel we've done a good job in negotiating their pay, it's obviously not quite the same level as the men. And so obviously the subscription fee needs to reflect that. But in return for that subscription fee, we'll be looking to introduce all the same types of services we can provide men.
And what input do the players have into the way the AFLPA is run?
The male and female players.
Yeah.
We have at the moment, our board is effectively a player board. Have 11 members on the board. 10 of them are current or former AFL players. Most of them are current. There's a few who are possibly finishing up this year as players, but at the moment, they're all men, but over time, that's obviously likely to change as our female members have ability to join the board as well.
So, I'm sure Matthew Pavlich will give up his spot to Mel Hickey. That'll be fine.
we love having Pav as the chairman of our board, so he's doing a great job.
Danae's a Fremantle supporter.
We'll be talking to our female members about what membership entails and what that entails in terms of joining the board and things like that, and to try to join the board. It's an elected board, so it's not something that we put in place. It's voted on by the members. So, that'd be great in due course. But our next AGM is not for probably another 6 months, I suppose. So it's probably a little bit away. But, yeah, we're looking forward to not only having our female members as members, but potentially full members as well.
Great. In my Google searching last night, I noticed that you're Mark Murphy's brother. How does
I am.
Is he the brawn and you're the brain? Or
I'm not going to say anything negative about his brain. I'm happy to say a few things ordinary about my brawn. So I don't know where that all went. Both of my brothers are both pretty talented sports people. My dad was an AFL footballer, my grandfather was an AFL footballer. And I played in the third division for a couple of years and struggled at that. So hopefully I understand the game well enough and do my best to learn it to perform my current job. But, I didn't get the best genes in that part of the family.
Well, we're glad that you've got the legal knowledge to help out the players anyway. And we appreciate your time here on Chicks Talking Footy. It's been really informative and interesting to learn all about how the AFLPA works. We look forward to watching what happens in the future with the Women's League.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
I'm Melissa Hickey from the Melbourne Demons, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, our two ads have been Mel Hickey and Katie Brown. They just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, they did.
Did I say that right?
As you do.
And Mel Hickey said that the pre-season for the Women's League is like Christmas in November.
Yeah. I love following Mel on Instagram. And she is just killing it. They are so excited.
Great.
Those women who have played VFL, women's, VWFL, whatever it's been called for a long time, have got so used to playing football for the love of it, and they're now really enjoying the spoils of the AFLW, which is proper facilities, great change rooms, great tracks, good gear.
Good coaches.
Well, I think they had good coaches before.
Well, they've got access to some of the male team coaches now. So
Yeah, it's the facilities, I think, that really make a difference. And I can't wait. When are we getting the fixtures fee?
I don't know.
Hopefully
it was supposed
soon.
To get in November, but it's nearly the end of November.
It was the first week and then it was mid and now it's the third week and we're almost finished our season on Chicks Talking Footy we still don't have fixtures.
Exactly. It's our last game next week, so hopefully they'll have the...
last show. Well, we're not actually playing football, Rachel. We're just talking about it.
It's the last home
I am
away.
In my mind.
we're the post-veterans of the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm still out there to be drafted. Anyone?
Yeah, we've moved into the media side of our careers.
don't forget that the AFLW isn't going to go away anytime soon. So if you want to get fit for next season and put yourself in the draft, Rachel, you can do that.
Well, yesterday I walked to my letterbox and back, so I'm pretty much like Mel Hickey. Yeah. I mean, we're one and the same.
Mount Kilimanjaro, the mailbox, I'm not sure.
hopefully the fixture will be out.
It is. We are actually taking a break. We're taking a break for 6 weeks. So Mel's going to do a one-hour sports show. We might have a few of us co-hosting that are passionate about tennis and cricket and that kind of thing in that time. But we're going to rest the show and come back with a bang just before the Women's League. So
yes, whenever that might start.
We will. You know, text in 0427JOY949 on aerojoy.org.au
or something.
Yeah.
We only have 3 minutes left for the show, so I had to say it fast.
We will be back in mid-January and it'll be super pre-season for the AFLW.
Yeah, we can't wait.
And we'll know the fixtures. We'll start talking to players and coaches and mad supporters like us. You still, Hawks, won't have a team to support.
Oh, they've got a VFL team now.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, you've got a VFL team.
That's great.
So with a plan to get into 2018.
So would you like to see the grand final of the inaugural AFLW season? Would you like to see that at the MCG before the first game of the men's?
Question.
Or would you rather a full house... She says in a loaded way, at Punt Road or Whitten Oval or Arden Street.
After seeing the All-Star Women's game at Whitten Oval.
It was pretty special, wasn't it?
It was a pretty special day. So I think that's what I'd go for.
Reach for the stars. Let's do it at the G.
That's a really big stadium to have. Even 30,000 feels less than.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've got a theory. Big house feels like a small party. Small house feels like a big party.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Maybe we can try and get over 60,000 to the
why not?
To the grand final of the
like
women's.
It's not a big party, you know.
I hope it's not at the Docklands because I don't.
No, yeah. No, it can't be at Etihad. No.
126 games are going to be played there next year. But
wow, look at you, stat nerd.
So 80% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Yeah, 50% of all people know that today.
On that note, we'll say goodbye from the Chicks Talking Footy team for a week, and we'll be here for the final show of Chicks Talking Footy in 2016 next week. Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.